My name is Janet Rex. My pronouns are she, her. I joined the church this year and I began attending the journaling group to meet some people during COVID, as well as to encourage creative writing, which leads me to explore, remember, and learn about myself and the interconnected web in which we all live. Alongside our journaling group projects, I've begun a daily gratitude journal where I can emphasize and reflect upon the beautiful things in my new Wisconsin home environment, nature, friends, fellowship, and family among them. Here in Madison, I am now able to help care for my young grandson. Next, I will share a letter, nursery rhyme, in a companion collage, right there, entitled, I Love You Always, Grandson, which have arisen out of the journaling group projects of who I am and a letter to my grandson combined. Letter and nursery rhyme for Harrison at 7 months old. Dear Harrison, if you ask, who is Grandma Janet? I am your hummingbird, flitting above, wings whirring, sharing my care and my love. I am your pretzel, twisting with hugs, when I swaddle you like a bug in a rug. I am your bard for the Mom's Day card, with tracings and scribbles of sweetest regard. So though you weren't fond of hand tracings to paper and wished to eat red in a crayon chewed caper, we all thought Mom's hugs for your card were fun, as well as Dad's compliment. What a good son. You see, I am many things, always changing, interacting with you in a rearranging. I am your puppeteer, holding reindeer that sing jingle bells to gladden your ear. And last time the reindeer jumped up for you, you clapped as if cheering a show in a zoo. I am your dog trainer with treats for sit, stay, for Dexter and Maggie who guard us all day. I am your storyteller, reading board books, teaching new things in our couch corner nooks. Storybook favorites have creatures that talk, Bonnie Moo Honk, who quack, cluck, and squawk. There's Gerald the giraffe and Gertrude the bear, teaching you laughter and dancing with flair. There's Chicka Chicka Boom Boom's ABCDs, where we climb Cousin Aylert's green coconut tree. She paints with bright colors of bold rainbow hues, red, orange, yellow, green, purple, and blues. There's a book of counting where puppies increase through a peak hole pyramid masterpiece. And each time we read it, your eyes engage and shift from the number to dogs on the page. Musically, I am your own musician with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star in my rendition. Your dimpled hands make their own excursion over the keyboard with a brand new version. And then you sing your velociraptor roar, or maybe it's a brachiosaurus or a T-Rex explore. And I hope I'm a centering peaceful flower, like a blue-orange iris or yellow sunflower. So when you are carried to bed at sunset, you'll ease beyond nightmares or any upset. Love, Grandma Janet. So Kafka's quote, all languages but a poor translation, suggests that my work likely falls quite short of being an adequate expression of my love for my grandson. Indeed, I opened the nursery rhyme with, I am your hummingbird, quite randomly actually, after I found a wonderful picture of a hummingbird for the collage. And I liked the busy imagery that it suggested for my care of my grandson. Later, however, this image took on a deeper meaning when I learned that my grandson absolutely loves and looks for hummingbirds at any feeders. When I write, I constantly struggle to find adequate words, and this leads to many discarded drafts of any writing. I was considering taking out the trite phrase, bug in a rug, but when I decided to read the draft to my grandson, I discovered that he smiles and loves to hear the words. Bug in a rug connects with Harrison. Words may indeed fall short of our attempts at expression, but this did not stop Kafka from continuing to try to express his thoughts, nor should it stop us from taking up the challenge to find words that might indeed extend joy and humor, create meaning and inspiration, and connect even deeper than we might imagine with those around us.
Hello, everybody. I am Kirsten Johnson, and I'm going to share a little bit about my journaling experience. This is my latest journal, and this is how they look now. I was going to show you guys how they used to look when I was in middle school. I guess they called it junior high back then. So this is a journal from 1975. I have to admit that I've been keeping journals for 50 years this summer. 1972, half a century. So it's just been sort of an ongoing process for me. It's something that I do. I guess I'm sort of an addict at this point. A writeaholic, if you will. I write almost every morning. It's just a way of me expressing my feelings and my angst and my, you know, trying to analyze people I know, so maybe I can be a little bit better in the world when I come in contact with people. So it's just been a really wonderful experience for me. And the journaling group, I decided to join it because I thought, heck, you know, I sort of do this routine every single day and it feeds me, it helps me, but you know, my creativity is maybe lacking, I need to do a little bit more. So the journaling group really amps that up a lot. I didn't go to as many sessions as I would have liked, and it's still going, so I guess I shouldn't put it in the past tense, but as we go, I hope to go to more, because every time I went, it was always some interesting prompt or some poem or some new way of writing a poem or a new way of expressing how I felt. And just to tag along with Janet's, I had a great experience on my son's birthday. He turned 26 on January 24th, which was the middle of winter, of course, and I was dealing with all kinds of angst because he was literally coming to live with me for a while. And I was like, oh my gosh, here we go. And so writing in my journal about that every day. And then it's time for his birthday. We have journaling group. And I just was able to open up and explore more, not just, I'm worried about Gareth coming over. No, I wrote a poem, not as good as this poem, of course, just a poem, you know, free verse. But it was just a wonderful way of just finding myself and finding my feelings for Gareth in a deeper way, or a more expressive, more creative way. And so when he came to stay, you know, I feel like I was a better person. I was a little bit more emotionally available for him. It was a hard time. So journaling of my own helped, and journaling with the group helped. And I'm so very grateful for the group. Hope it continues. And maybe some of you would like to join. Thank you very much. Thank you to Jean.
I'm Jenny Schultz, and I have been growing into Unitarian Universalism for many years. I joined James Reeb Congregation when I moved back to Madison in 2017. As I reflect on the practice of journaling, these thoughts come to mind. If, as Kafka says, our words are inadequate, a poor translation, how do they serve us? What is the value of language? Words are what we use to get from standing in front of the open refrigerator, not quite knowing what we are hungry for, to making out a grocery list, to sharing recipes, to sharing meals, to sharing conversation, to sharing our humanity. Maybe even to showing our spiritual selves to one another. But language can be tricky. Everyone knows what the word God means. At the same time, the concept of the divine or of deity is a source of division among cultures and religions all over the world and throughout millennia. Treasured stories from past cultures and from our own families can guide us through the twisted path of life. And yet, don't we all wonder at the awesome evidence that life brings us? Experiences that sometimes make a person want to share them in whatever way they can, sometimes take us from the divine to the sublime, sometimes drive us to desperation. Sometimes the words are a blessing to our ear, and sometimes they are merely awkward and confusing. For me, journaling is a process of writing to myself about whatever has come to mind. I find that sitting with an idea and expressing it on paper can sometimes bring clarity. And if things aren't more clear after I've attempted to write about it, at least the confusion of the issue is recorded so that I can come back to it another day. In her book, Long Life, poet Mary Oliver wrote, "What does it mean that the earth is so beautiful? And what shall I do about it? What is the gift that I should bring to the world? What is the life that I should live?" These questions interest me. Although language can only poke at the edges of the complex mix of emotions, hormones, auditory and visual experiences that fill my day, it feels like a pretty good tool to me. And in a techno world where cursive writing is falling out of favor, I still cling to my pen and pad. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Heike. I also brought a little selection of my journals that I've had over the past, probably the same amount of time as Kirsten, which is kind of humbling to think about. I have
less paper.
Yeah.
Sorry, you use less paper.
Exactly. Some of them are small that I can bring in a bag and just, you know, sketch in or write phrases that I like. Some of them are worse for the wear, kind of battered, have papers stuck in them. And then some of them I've had to reconstruct because the bindings broke. So it's also kind of intimidating to think that like 150 years from now, someone might find it and publish it. as Mandy was describing to us. But as you can see, I don't have a neat collection of the same type of notebook. Every year, I guess I just start writing in or on whatever I have handy, sometimes just a single piece of paper that then I tape or just fold and shove between the pages of whatever notebook I'm using at the time. And when I look at my stack of notebooks, some of them are filled up completely, some of them are half empty, and I see that I've somehow found time to write over the years, even though I've not been able to establish a regular habit or time of day to do it. Morning seems like the right time, but here's an excerpt I wrote earlier this year. Quote, "I want to begin writing, but I also want to drink my coffee while it's hot. Can't do both at once." The journaling group has been an anchor for me, especially during the pandemic. I always dreamed of being in a writing group, and now here I am. I'm grateful for the opportunity. For me, writing is a spiritual practice, part of my free and responsible search for truth and meaning, as Jean mentioned earlier. And I think that participating in the writing group, we practice acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth, which is another UU principle. I don't usually write about what I've done or what I plan to do or produce any sort of coherent narrative. What goes on the paper is mostly stream of consciousness. What's in my head at the moment is what I write. Sometimes it feels like a way to get out all the thoughts that get stuck and bounce around in my head. Sometimes nothing comes out. I sit with my pen poised above the paper, but nothing happens. That's when prompts can be really helpful. They can be really simple, like right now, and then you just write whatever comes to your mind. Or they can be more focused, like write about a childhood memory. Sometimes in the group, we write for a while, and then we scan what we've written to find words or phrases that resonate. And then we use those as a jumping off point for writing some more, maybe a poem or a deeper observation. Sometimes we also share by our own choice. I paged through some of my notebooks in preparation for this service, and I found some interesting things that might inspire me to write more. I'm going to share a few of them with you. Here's the first one. Sitting in front of the blank page, my head is spinning with thoughts and images. Coffee is getting cold in the mug. The day is lovely, sunny, and not too hot. Fall is pushing toward me like a wall of black clouds. My umbrella isn't ready yet. I'm still constructing it. Or maybe I'm deciding to walk into the storm without it. It'll just blow away anyway. So what if I get wet? I won't melt, or will I? Last night, 9 p.m. in Council Grounds State Park, and I'm locked out of my car. I'm grateful to the gods of whatever that the window was open a crack so I could reach in with a tent stake and open the door. Went for a long walk in the tall pines. I worshiped with my hand on the rough bark of a giant white pine that had never heard of Jesus. And here's the final one. Another Sunday in a parade of stay-at-home Sundays. I'm longing for some warm human contact. It suits an introvert, but even I am longing for some warm human, oh, sorry, that suits an introvert. I'm longing to stand close enough to someone other than my partner to see what their eyes say. On Zoom, I find myself looking away from the camera, outside, something at my desk, my phone, not at the faces of my friends. I suppose there's an art that's emerging to being present at virtual gatherings, just as there's attention to be paid when we're together in person. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, everybody. I didn't hear these before today, so this is, I'm just kind of a little bit overwhelmed, and it actually reminds me of what would happen in our journaling group. It was just amazing, the connections that people made and the beautiful things that people ended up writing, and I'm just so grateful for having this opportunity to lead this group and to have all these people in this involvement. And I see a few people out here who joined us once in a while, and I hope maybe they come back, and I hope other people do join us, and it is going to continue this fall. So I could talk about journaling for hours and hours and hours, but I won't do that today. I've been journaling myself off and on since probably my early teens, definitely not as consistently as Kirsten, and my journals are more like haikus, kind of all over the place. But journaling has helped me in so many ways. It helps me to make difficult decisions. It's helped a lot with anxiety, and it helps me to better understand my own feelings. And one of the really great things about journaling is how it can help a person to discover something that they already know or they already feel, but it's deep inside themselves. So it helps you reach that still small voice inside. There's many different ways to journal. And like some people mentioned, prompts, and sometimes we journal to poems. And read. Explored a lot of those in our journaling group, and we're going to try one of them in a little bit. But first, I just wanted to talk a little bit about journaling itself, about the process. So what journaling is not, is it's not that you don't have to write fancy. We write some beautiful things have come out of our journaling group, some beautiful poems and prose and stories, but journaling itself is really just about the writing. It inspires things, which is great, but it doesn't have to inspire something. So journaling does not have to be grammatically correct. You don't have to spell right. Nobody ever has to see it. You don't even have to read it again if you don't want to. It's really about the process. And really the way journaling works the best is if it is flow of consciousness. Some people say, don't take your pen off the paper. much more about the process than what you're actually writing. Oh, journaling can be handwritten, it can be typed, or it even could be spoken into a recorder if you're not able to write. So today we're going to do a little gratitude journaling. And I know a lot of you are probably familiar with gratitude journaling. You've probably done it before. Maybe you do it regularly, but we're going to add a little twist to it. So if you want to, I'll tell you the prompt, and you can write down the prompt if you want to get yourself started. But then don't start until we time it. We're going to write for about 2 minutes. But before that, we're going to just take a couple of deep breaths and kind of settle into things. But the prompt, what the prompt is I am grateful for, and then you just write whatever you feel grateful for. And by that, I mean, and that's when you're really going to write. And what this does is it kind of gets you to look more at what it is you're grateful for, or why, or what does that mean to be grateful? It's that digging deeper thing. So if you want to go ahead and write that beginning part, I am grateful for, and by that I mean. Oh, don't start the timer yet.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. We didn't practice this part.
Yeah, we didn't. Okay, because I do want everybody to just take a few breaths together and kind of settle into your seat. Let your seat hold you. And try to keep writing no matter what. If you can't think of anything to write, you can write, I can't think of anything to write. Or you can write, this is so stupid, I can't wait till this is over. But try to keep your pen on your paper and keep on writing and just see what comes out. So let's take another deep breath. And now go ahead and write. I liked it when I see people still writing. And I hope that was a bit interesting or fun. And I would encourage everybody, if you're comfortable, sharing with each other after the service, either what you wrote or how you found the process, or if you already keep a gratitude journal, anything, just go ahead and share with each other about it. And now we're going to move on to a different kind of sharing.